Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Happy Saturday to all of you. Right now we are broadcasting live in Huntington Beach, California. We are at the AWOW event, which is a walk on water. They are a surf therapy organization that helps kids all over the world who need the help. And it's a great organization. We are here with our friend Jeff Swampy Marsh, the co-creator of Phineas and Ferb. And this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
We thank you for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from the beach, Huntington Beach, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program's about having fun. We recap our past week and try to enlighten your day with laughter.
That's right. Laughter at all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things. Even the things that Swampy knows about me, he might tell you on the air. We never know.
The things that connect us all make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and join in the conversation. And you guys can do that in several ways. Wow, it's loud. All right. You can do that several ways. You can do that by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or just email us the old-fashioned way, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes, and once again, guys, like I said, we're down here in Huntington Beach right now, so we're flying by the seat of our pants. So I'm just going to say right now, our main theme song is the Escape song by the great Rupert Holmes.
In parentheses, the Pina Colada
song. The Pina Colada song, exactly, because it is Pina Colada Day. And, of course, I got my homie here, some Pina Coladas from, was it Naked Goodness or whatever? So hopefully it'll taste good for you.
Rupert Holmes, an accomplished musical theater composer, too. Mystery of Edwin Drood, a Charles Dickens novel he did the music for, live production of.
I'd love to be in that pitch meeting.
Wait.
It's a musical.
Wait, I know that voice.
Based on...
an unfinished...
A Charles Dickens novel.
Right?
I know that voice.
Stay with me.
Yes.
That voice sounds so familiar.
It does to me, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Our dear friend, Jeff Swampy Marsh. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm here in Huntington Beach at an AWOW event doing a little surf therapy with all our athletes. What is not to love?
It is a beautiful day. It's nice and cool. It's greatly overcast, which I love.
I'm going to take a moment just to go back to that song.
So, yeah, go.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Basically, through the course of the... He makes an effort through the personal ads to cheat on her and finds out that she's doing the same thing.
Yes.
And at the end, it's all okay.
You know what I found out? I've done that song for karaoke. I can't tell you how many ladies are excited to hear that song. I go, do you know what this song is about?
Let's break it down. Here's another one for you that I found out growing up with my son. There's fun songs that you sing along. In the summertime when the weather is... you can touch the sky. In the summertime, you got women on your mind. Go a little deeper into that. There is the suggestion that you should drink and drive, speed, and pull off to the side of the road and have some fun, if you know what I mean. It also tells you that you should be treating women differently depending on their socioeconomic status. If her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
So
problematic.
You know, singing
there.
That along with your son, and all of a sudden you think, oh, let's listen to my girl. I got sunshine, you know.
And welcome to 2022.
Yeah.
And I love how many times growing up my son would ask my wife, so what's that song about? And she was very honest. She'd think about it for a second and go, sex. Anyway.
Could I give you one too? Heart, All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You. It's a nice song about making love.
Yeah, see.
But her man can't get her pregnant, so she picks up a drifter off the side of the road to get her pregnant.
I always wanted
romance.
To be that drifter.
Isn't that lovely?
I always wanted to be that drifter.
Makes my heart go pitter-patter.
Right.
Heartwarming. But after, now, we've gotten the educational stuff.
Yeah, now we've got the PSA out of the way. Dude, how in the hell have you been? I haven't seen you in 2 years.
I know.
Should we catch up?
Well, first of all, COVID. Am I right? Oh,
you know
my
what?
God.
Let's do it for Swami. Let's go ahead and catch up. There you go.
Nice.
So...
I need music like this in my life, just when you enter a room.
Theme music when you walked in?
Yeah.
Dude, right. I'll carry a radio for you.
Perfect.
Right behind you, man. I'll carry it. So, 2 years I haven't seen you, brother.
Yeah.
What the hell has been going on?
Well, we went into development on 2 series just as COVID began, and one thing I've learned that I never want to do again is try to develop a show with a network during COVID over Zoom meetings, because, boy, the happiness, joy, laughter, and energy is sucked out of every meeting, and they take forever. It takes 2 weeks to organize a meeting. And but after the end of that, we got a green light from our new series with Disney, so we're actually hiring people.
Wow.
A new show called Hey AJ that was based on some books written by a former NFL football player called Martellus Bennett, who wrote...
This is the second time you've done something based on books now.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is awesome.
I'm becoming the, hey, I've got a book, would you make it into a TV show guy?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's great.
And he wrote these books for his daughter because he couldn't go out and buy imagination adventure stories featuring young black girls.
Wow.
So he wrote them. Which I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And we turned it into a show, pitched it to Disney, and after 2 long years, they went, yes, we'll take a bunch of them.
That's great. I remember the Bennett brothers in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, he's got the Super Bowl rings and stuff.
Yeah.
He's like 20 feet tall, or I don't know.
Like 20,
makes
22.
Me feel even more like a munchkin than I am. But it's really great to be... back in production. We've got our new studio building over in Santa Monica, which we'll have to have you over when we start having parties, because we have a big parking lot.
Dude, I'm waiting for Fridays to come back, man. Last Fridays.
We're going to bring them back.
Oh, okay. I've been practicing drums.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I can bring my small drum set over. We'll have a jam session.
Excellent.
So we're talking to Jeff Swampy Marsh. He's the co-creator of Phineas and Ferb and Milo Murphy's Law. And for those of you who don't know, he is also executive producer and creator of Pete the Cat.
Pete the Cat, which actually the last batch of episodes just dropped on Amazon. So if you're a big fan of Pete the Cat, if you have little ones, or if you just like good music, go listen.
Yeah, please do.
Our narrator. The voice of our narrator on that is Don Was, the guy who produced all the Rolling Stones.
Oh, Was Not Was?
Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
Was Not Was.
Yeah. He even produced my hero, Richie Sambora.
Yeah.
He was
recommended to us by another sound engineer, a really lovely guy named Jackknife, who produces U2 and The Killers. And I was talking to him about a voice, and he's Jackknife is this great Irish guy. So describing what we wanted, and he went, you know who you want to call is, you call Don Was.
Don Was.
And I went, yeah, I don't know Don Was. You do. You're a really cool person. I go, oh, that's all right. I'll give you his number. So he gives me Don Was' number, and I call him. And the guy's like, why are you calling me?
Is it that easy?
Yeah.
Swampy, can I have Don Was' number then?
No.
Okay.
But it was really great. I had to convince him to come do it. And then afterwards, like the first, you know, session, we're about halfway through, and he looked up and he went, okay, I get it. And he was phenomenal. He's a great voice. We had K.T. Tunstall, and first two seasons, we had Elvis Costello and Diana Krall, Dave Matthews. L. King came and did a character voice for us. We had a blast.
Can I have their numbers?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
then. Afterwards, I'm not going to say it online.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
Wow.
Just text me the numbers.
Yeah, text. I'll just post them to my Facebook account.
Just dox everybody.
So, yeah. We've been busy. We opened, we're in the process of opening an animation facility in Manchester, UK. So we'll have people doing work on both sides of the pond. Mm-hmm. And, you know. Life's crazy, weird, wonderfully good.
That is awesome. And how is your son Django doing?
He's great. He's back from Scotland, so I've got him home again. My surfing buddy's back.
Is he here today? Or?
No, he's
what
out.
What happened?
He's out in Catalina.
So he's over there?
With his girlfriend. He's that way.
He's that way.
Oh.
Yeah. He's past those
26
oil stickers.
Miles that way, because I remember the
26 miles across the sea. Santa Catalina is waiting for me.
Yeah, the four preps, I think that was. Oh, God, sorry.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
La, 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 la. Sorry for all you young people.
Where the buffalo roam, too. Sing that one.
No.
And now the sheriff tells us not to come because he can't protect us.
So what have you guys been up to?
Well, I've got a new crew, as you can see now.
I see that.
Except for that one. That they one's still, just gotten taller.
They still have that new crew smell.
They do. And that's one thing I love about them.
Oh, yeah.
So Forrest has just joined us recently also. I've had the two ladies here for a little while, though. They've
so
been
So, Forrest, what
job.
Happened? You lose a bet? What?
7 years I'm here just, indentured.
He's a teacher also, a drama teacher over at Cerritos College.
Ah,
so,
awesome.
You know,
yeah.
He goes,
yeah.
You know what? Let's do something I don't know anything about or whatever, yeah. You know. And so he came here.
It's always a good thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And he's great. I love having my new partner. So he's awesome. So Steve does say hello, though.
He, tell him howdy.
He went up to Utah to go take care of a cousin of his who was dealing with cancer. So he was. We had gone
well, tell him
months.
I said howdy.
I will. He'll be back on the 14th. So
good stuff.
Will do. Will do. So, but no, but things have been going, plugging along great. You know, like I said, the show's still going good. And it looks like we might be picking up a couple of other networks to stream on as well.
Nice.
So we're expanding more. One more in Indiana. It looks like we might be starting next month on the 6th, I think it is.
In Indiana?
So, yeah.
They're going to get this show?
Yeah. Dude, we've already
hello,
got
hello, Indiana. I love.
They're listening to
I
you
I love
now.
Your race at Indianapolis. You guys know anybody race. Who's got a spare car, call me. I have my own fire suit and helmet.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
You've used up every
you know,
Indiana
one day, I keep saying
there.
That. One day somebody's going to take me up on that. They won't.
I think you got to manifest.
They won't.
Just
I'm hoping. I was sure when I did the celebrity race over at Irwindale that NASCAR would be calling with a full ride.
I'm still pissed
it
that Munoz
hasn't happened yet.
I'm so pissed that Munoz beat you the way he did.
Well, he was funny too at the end of that. He goes, "You came alongside me. I thought you were going to push on." And I went, "It's charity, and if we wreck the car, the charity doesn't get the money." And he went, "Yeah," but, and I went, but anyway, yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah,
but it's hard because when you're out there, the last thing you want to think about is that. But because I was the one who invited everybody, I think I was more invested, and I'm on the board at AWOW, so I was really conscious of don't cost the charity any money. So the spotter was the one who said, drop down low, you've got him on the inside. And I just thought, how hard do I want to put?
And the thing that sucked, though, is that you came in, or he won also, on a yellow flag. So
oh, yeah.
You guys had to stay in the same position.
Oh,
so I'm
I
like,
know.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Afterwards, back in the pits, I beat the hell out of him. Just, no, I'm terrible thing to say.
You don't want your fundraisers to lose money.
Lawsuits and things like that. Everybody who came out to do that was so good and so great. I can't thank
you. Well, Swami came out to me and goes, can you trip him and hold him down? I said, sure, no problem.
Just hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, something permanent.
I'll punch him. He won't know where it came from or anything or whatever, and then we'll both run. I said, okay.
If he was blurry in one eye for the race, that would have worked for me. Just, you know. God.
No, but things have been good, man. Things have been good with us. Like I said, we're slowly expanding even more and everything, so which is great. And we're having fun doing it. So, like I said, the new crew is great, wonderful. And, of course, now Roman's been part of the show and everything, so it's been good.
You're going to let him talk on...
Eventually. He's going to do the questions for us.
Teenagers, they're really dangerous.
We have him on like a Twitter limit of characters. Yeah, he can only say so many words.
The last 15 minutes of the show is his airtime. So.
Well, thank you guys for coming out and helping publicize this.
Dude, I've always said as long as you're associated with it, I will come out every year and make sure that we help push this thing and everything. Because this is such a wonderful thing. And the thing that got me with it, too, the way it got you, was that this is one of the few organizations that it's not just for the kids, it's for the families.
Yeah.
They get the family involved and everything. And that's the main thing.
That was, to me, the big difference when I was looking around at places. This included everybody. And was really conscious of just how much the parents of some of our athletes really need the day off. They need a day where they can show up and somebody helps with the kid and takes care of lunch, and they just have to go stand on the beach and cheer their kid on.
Mm.
And that was important, and I've had so much great feedback from parents that... See? Talk about this stuff, and I get all choked up.
I know you do.
They've told me how important it is and how much it matters and how much it means to them to have that day.
To have a break.
So that was kind of critical for me for this organization.
And that's one thing I admire both about you and Dan as men, not just as people who created a wonderful TV show who brought families together, including my son and I, but also that the organizations that you guys are behind. And the things that you've done, the things I've seen both of you guys do. And there are two men who have the biggest hearts, and it's incredible to see. And I don't know what your upbringing was, you know, what religious background or whatever, whether, you know, but the family, whoever it was, they taught you right, I think, you know, and all I see is a good man in front of me.
It was a pretty chaotic background, but in the midst of all of that insanity, there were some really spectacular people that I was lucky enough to have involved in my life, and they have stuck with me. If you look at my life on paper, it's a giant slow-motion train wreck with spikes and broken glass. But there were folks in there who did the right things, who said the right things, who were there for me in the right way at the right time, and there isn't a day go by where I don't think about them and am grateful for what they did.
Wow.
And it shows, Swami. I mean, it really does. By you doing this and by you even just doing, we mentioned it briefly, the last Fridays at your studio. And to kind of explain what that was that at Swampy's studio, he would invite friends and the employees of his animation and come out. And we would do different things. And it was the last Friday of every month over there in Venice at the studio. And, I mean, we did everything from paint a car to...
Painted a car.
Yeah. Yeah, because we had to use tempura paint.
Yeah. Made a good joke about the tempura paint. We did not deep fry that poor guy's car afterwards, but still.
I'll have to show you guys pictures. To one of my favorites, which is where they recreated a play called Dick the Musical that Swampy and Dan wrote together. And they had everybody under the sun who has worked with them.
Dietrich Bader, Steve Root.
Jill Whelan came out.
Oh, yeah. Jill came out. Caroline Ray.
Yeah.
Adrian Pazdar.
Oh, my God.
Anybody who's worked on Phineas and Ferb or Milo Murphy has was there. And I have it on. Thank God I taped
Newman
it.
Lorraine Newman came out.
Yes.
We had some amazing people who just said, yeah, sure, we'll do it.
We'll do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was so funny and hysterical. All the puns that you could think of were there. and everything.
If you know anybody who wants to produce a musical comedy rom-com thing,
oh God, so
you
good.
Know, we're still out there. We probably only need 30 or 40 million or something. So if you've got it laying around, please call.
So not a community college production.
Not so much.
No, okay. All right, never mind then.
But we're still out there pitching it, man.
Okay.
And it's good. It's
funny. One of the funniest things we've written.
Wow. It is. Yeah. It really is. And I mean, everything from that to just having just even just a get together where it's just he and I got into a big old fight over Jenga.
Yeah.
And this son of a gun won by.
I cheated, let's be honest.
He kicked the table. And it got pretty high, though, too.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, because he goes,
did.
Again?
We had taxidermy. Bernie did a welding and metal molding evening. We did and musical nights. We did a stand-up comedy night. It was just sort of anything that anybody wanted to do. You came and performed.
Yeah.
Somebody even let me sing. That seemed like a bad idea in retrospect. But,
you know, I almost brought my guitar today for you. I almost brought it.
And we had some amazing people come. So, yeah, once everything gets settled, we got people back in the studio, we're going to get back to it.
We
got to
do that because that is so much fun.
And it was such a great bonding experience for everybody.
It was. Got to meet so many wonderful people. Some of the directors that directed Pete the Cat, like Bernie.
Yep.
You know, and some of the voice
Dan
actors
Partible,
like David.
Yeah, David Rigo.
Yeah, and you know, it was just like I said, it's a bonding thing, is what it was.
It's just great people showed up.
Yeah,
really good.
And have fun, good times. I mean, we even what was the movie we showed that you showed?
Which one did we do? The Magnificent Seven.
The Magnificent Seven, the original.
Mm, which you know, my go-to Western.
Yeah. It's a great Western.
My favorite is all the McQueen stories.
See, mine
reminds me of the guy back home who jumped out the 10-story building.
Oh.
Every floor he passed, they heard him say, "So far, so good.
Good.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. So far, so good." But yeah, and my go-to Western though is always Tombstone.
Oh yeah,
I've got to watch it.
So I went to school with Val.
Did you really?
Yeah, in grade school.
Oh my God.
Didn't like him.
Neither
so
did I.
I didn't. I wasn't able to watch a lot of his films.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw the guy he was a couple grades ahead of me, and he may have been a nice guy. It didn't work. And then I saw him in Tombstone. And all of that was so transformative in that I didn't see that guy at all. And also, it completely changed my opinion about him. I've since gone back and watched his movies and enjoyed them much more. And was really,
I like
really
his Real Genius and his Zucker Brothers movie.
There was some great stuff. And I'm waiting to see his latest turn in the Top Gear thing. Top Gun.
Top Gun, yeah.
They said that scene is really, really good.
I heard that.
I haven't seen it yet either, though. But I had a buddy of mine, Jared Chandler, who was one of the, I guess, what do we call them, experts or whatever, or go-to people.
Tech,
you know, one of those people that says, that's not how you do it. You do have to do it like
advisor.
This.
Consultant advisor.
Military consultant.
Guy thing.
And because he was on the aircraft carrier for about like five weeks with Tom Cruise.
Crazy.
And everything. So, I still have to go see the movie, though.
Well, I'm going to jump up.
Okay,
I have to go back to doing safety stuff.
All righty.
Because while we've been here having fun,
four
it's just
people.
Carnage out there.
There are four people, I think, have drowned already. I'm not too sure.
Actually, I have the best crew in the world.
And those are the sharks. I've
gotten to the point where I can come step away for a while, and I have no fear. So for any of our safety volunteers, a personal thank you from me for doing all that you do. Go safety.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And we'll come back and get you for the game.
Come back and get me.
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
Good to see
thank
you.
You.
Good to
thank
see you,
for joining us.
Thank you for letting me whinge about the pop song.
Absolutely, brother. All righty, guys. That's Jeff Swampy Marsh. Yeah, ease up, crowd. Ease up. Back off, guys. Back off. Jeez, the beach is so damn crowded. Big-ass crowd here for Swampy.
Awesome guy.
So, dude, you can't say a bad thing about him.
You
really can't. He is an amazing, amazing man, and the things that he does. There was, I got to tell this quick story, too, about he and Dan. There was these girls, I think I've told it, I'm not too sure. My son, Roman, was in this camp thing, and this girl that was one of the counselors there. Whoa, hello.
I don't know what that cable is.
Which one are you the... Oh, that's... output of this.
Nice, okay.
Yeah. She, and don't do it again, please. Thank you.
It's a tsunami that went by just briefly.
Well, I know it wasn't Philip, that's for damn sure. But anyway, she was a counselor, and then it turned out she was in a band called Love Handle. And for those of you who watch Phineas and Ferb, there's a band in there called Love Handle. And so it turns out I took a picture of it and told Swampy, hey, look at the third band. He texts back to me, who, what, where, when, how, why? And I said, I don't know. I'll get more information. Well, it turns out this girl and a girlfriend of hers created this band, and they did nothing but Phineas and Ferb cover songs.
Wow.
So that play that we were talking about, mm-hmm. Dick, the musical, I took the girls to go meet Swampy that Friday. I said, I'll introduce you, but it's up to you guys to convince them. Both of them wanted to come down. Swampy couldn't because something else came up. But Dan came down with two of the actors from Phineas and Ferb and Milo Murphy's Law and came down to Long Beach. And it was this backyard party. And then Dan actually sang as Doofenshmirtz
wow.
with the kids. And all these kids were young college, you know, older high school kids at the time and everything. So they grew up with Phineas and Ferb.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew exactly who this was.
Yeah.
And then for him to sing as Doofenshmirtz, you know, that was just a freaking treat for them.
Yeah, I bet.
Overall, you know. And, that's how good these men are.
Yeah.
You know, just down to earth like that.
Yeah.
And doing events like this, they're just great guys.
Yeah.
Man.
I can't wait for that next series to come out.
Neither can I. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
You know, and what's interesting now is that Dan and Swampy, not that they're fighting or anything, whatever, they're still very, very good friends, but Dan is working on his Disney program,
mm-hmm.
which is Hamster and Gretel. And then, of course, now Swampy's working on his.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't do a show together again, but they're
that's cool.
They still got their own thing going on,
yeah.
which is kind of cool. So
it's very cool.
Catching up, we were trying to catch up with Swampy here, so now we're going to catch up with ourselves and everything. Where are we at on time right now?
It is about 10:27.
10:27. Oh, so we're right on time. We're pretty good then.
Nice.
All right. So, and I see Nia just took off.
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Did she have to go potty?
I don't know. No, she says her stomach's not feeling well.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Nia, you doing good? No. Okay. Moving on.
She's catching up in her own way.
She's catching her own way. So, let's go ahead and go with producer Kathy.
I know. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, sweetheart.
How's it been?
It's been.
It's been.
It's been.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a good conversation. I enjoyed that. I actually, I think Rocco's.
Whoops. Why did your mic go off?
I don't know.
Oh. Here we go.
Are we back on?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, there we are. I'm okay. Back alive.
All right.
Nice. Okay, I will just not move ever again for the rest of the time. My week was great. The 4th of July was a lot of fun, and then I had the day off, and then I'm all out of whack because my work schedule has been a little reorganized from the holiday. And how was your pina colada? Was it everything
God,
you ever dreamed
good.
Of? I just heard
I needed
outside
that.
Of that, I didn't a whole lot of nothing. So all my fun was done in the beginning of this week.
Cool. So 4th of July, you said was good?
Yeah, 4th of July was a lot of fun. We started smoking a brisket at like 1 in the morning.
Oh!
Which
I can never
is too late. Apparently, because it wasn't ready until like 10 o'clock
really?
At night.
Oh
my God.
Yeah, so it would have needed like a day and a half. We should have probably started it at like 9 p.m. the night prior.
The night before.
That didn't stop you from eating it at midnight, did it?
No.
Of course
no.
Not, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's medium rare.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. Then we were mad at the people that ended up throwing up some of it, you know?
Oh, jeez. So how's your...
we would talk about all those foods that people eat on the 4th of July, and I think I only had one hot dog. It was not... I did not live up to my potential.
I only ate half one.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't have
any. But I have potato salad. I dig the potato salad.
How much ambrosia did you put down?
None.
Oh.
None, but I made a cake.
Okay.
Yeah, I baked a cake.
Okay.
I made sour cream frosting.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was nice.
Like on a red velvet?
On a chocolate cake.
Oh, okay. Okay, nice.
That works.
Malted chocolate cake.
Yeah, I didn't. I ate a little bit. I had a lot of filming this week and some more unpermitted filming in the on the streets, and it was more of the same where the director was whispering as low as possible and
okay,
had his head on a swivel, like looking out for security that came and looked at us. And oh, that was a good take. That was the first take. Oh, no, it was good. It was good.
Moving on.
So we're wrapping up that Alien movie next week, and it's been going well. It's been going well on the streets. How about yourself, Sean?
Oh my God, it has been a rough week. I'll be honest with you.
Oh no.
4th of July started off horribly.
Oh.
I kid you not. As I mean the power bar. I've always talked about my friend Gino, who passed away due to cancer and everything, which is my son's godfather. Well, a very dear friend of ours also, that was almost like his right-hand man kind of a thing. If you want to look for Gino, look for Mikey. If you wanted Mikey, look for Gino. They were always together. And my dear friend Mikey Robles woke up that morning, walked around the house, and unfortunately suffered a massive heart attack. Okay. And lost a very dear friend of 30-plus years. And so that kind of hit us hard, you know, of all days.
Yeah.
You know, the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. You know, of course, then the week before, my mom loses her dog.
Yeah.
Down dealing with Mikey and everything. And just like going, gee, my crickets, what the heck's going on? Yeah. You know? But 4th of July, my mom came over with another childhood friend of mine, and we had dinner together. We then went over to the joint base there in Los Alamitos and saw the fireworks and enjoyed that. And came home, just relaxed, basically, you know, for the day. Didn't have any hot dogs.
No.
We cheated. We had fried chicken.
Okay.
So, which is really good still. And
fried chicken's always good.
Yeah. And then my mom brought the ice cream, so we had the Breyers real ice cream.
Oh, Breyers.
Milk and cream.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, I had the last of it, of one of them yesterday.
My son just put a half carton of Breyers down by himself a couple days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I could do that, too. Yeah.
I do that in, like, every couple nights. I have ice cream every single night.
Oh, it's a
Breyers. And sometimes during the day. It depends, really.
Breyers is so good because, I mean, the creaminess of it and everything.
I know.
And
I'm just waiting for it to catch up with me.
Well, I let the last part just melt all the way down, and I just drank it.
Oh my God.
Like a shake.
Just straight milkshake.
I just drank it like a shake, and that's all I needed to do.
And we're not even sponsored by Breyers.
We're not.
We're that enthusiastic about
exactly.
it.
Well, I'm not really a brand snob. I go with what's available, Tillamook.
Well, I think this one was on sale, a 2-for-1.
Yeah, see, now that's how you do it. That's how you garnish business.
Exactly. So, but other than that, the rest of the week is good. Had a couple of performances and everything, which was nice.
Nice. What were you playing for these performances? Drum or guitar?
No, I was at Mamba's in Huntington Beach, and I was doing my original stuff, singing, playing guitar.
Nice, okay.
And then tonight, if anybody gives a damn, I'll be over, which probably by the time you guys listen to this, unless you listen to it live, it won't matter anyway. But I'll be over at Dirty Nelly's in Fountain Valley tonight from 6 to 9.
Okay.
So, and if you're listening to this on Monday, don't come because I won't be there. Because it's already, you missed it. You missed out.
Too late.
So
you can still go and
you can still go to Dirty Nelly's and ask for me. And go, is Sean playing tonight? And they'll tell you.
Oh, in fact, do that, actually. Go after the show. Ask for Sean. Because then it'll create demand. We'll get Sean booked for more shows.
Oh, that's true.
Go. Yeah. Ooh, good promotion.
Yeah, we should just start advertising you late for all your shows so that people start showing up looking for Sean.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great marketing technique.
I like it. I do like that. That's pretty smart.
I'm going to go to SoFi Stadium and ask them.
Where's Sean Roberts?
Where is Sean? What is going on here? I demand.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I'm going to do that right
where
away.
Is we demand yes. Sean Roberts?
Absolutely. What you got, Swampy?
We got.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You may have heard of Wahoo's Tacos. You're going to meet the founder of Wahoo's
Tacos.
Have a
seat, sir.
Please.
Welcome.
Why not?
Absolutely. Please join us.
I ate at Wahoo's in Long Beach maybe a week ago.
Oh, nice.
I mean, wow. We had a great time. There was a fundraiser there. They were supporting my son's Boy Scout troop in Lakewood.
Rock Camaro, yes.
They did a great job there, and we had a great time eating, my son and I, and just love it every time we go there. So it's a great surprise to have you here.
Well, thanks. So
please introduce yourself to our audience.
All right. My name is Wayne Lamb. I'm the co-founder of Wahoo's Fish Taco. We're here supporting AWOW.
Well, welcome, and thank you for being here. How did you come up with the whole premise of Wahoo's Tacos?
You know, when you surf, the first rite of passage, the first road trip that most kids take in Southern California, they go down to Mexico. And when you get out of the water, there's nothing better than a fish taco.
Wow. You know what? I swam with them. Maybe I'll eat them.
Got to be completely one.
Yeah.
Yes. Inside and out.
I saw a fresh tuna out there, and now I'm going to eat his cousin right here. I get it.
Where was that first location?
Right up here in Costa Mesa, right literally a block away from Hurley's headquarters.
Orange County, baby. There you go. It all started here in Orange County.
Yep.
And about how many locations now do we have?
We got over 50 locations across the country, and we even have one in Japan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Come on. You got to surf. You got to eat tacos, right?
So are you going to Hong Kong? Because we can't be there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the 69th most popular podcast for comedy podcasts in Hong Kong. We can't walk the streets in Hong Kong.
I know. It's huge.
So it's tough, man. It's tough. You know, they just mob us there. Here, we're lucky. You know, you're they just lucky. Go.
I know.
That looks like somebody important, but we're not too sure. So we're just going to keep on walking. So what year did you start the idea?
Basically, I went to college in the early 80s down at San Diego State as well. So my kid brothers, Ed and Mingo, used to always come down and visit, the big brother. Mm-hmm. So we go surfing. And when I graduated in 84, I did go try a little bit of corporate America, give it an old, you know, college try. So of all places, I worked on Rockwell International. On
Get out of here. Yeah, what did you do at Rockwell?
I basically worked in the contracts department, you know, doing all the financial stuff.
Wow.
Where at?
In Downey.
Get out of here.
That's where I live.
That's where it was, used to be.
They moved. It's a big shopping center now.
Yes,
put a Wahoo's there. All right.
Well, if you're from Downey, you remember there was a little, I call it a little tiny Mexican place called Esther's.
And I know Esther's. Yes.
These gigantic wet burritos, right?
Yeah.
And I remember people always love a good, you know, hole in the wall place.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder, like, and they're all over. Every city's got a little hole in the wall place. But I said, why don't they bring it like closer to like the mainstream, I call it. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. And for whatever reason, whether it's financial, whatever you want to call it, logistics, they never did. So I always say, you know, the great Mexican restaurants in Santa Ana, there's all over the place.
Yeah.
But not like in Newport. I mean, now there's a lot more. But back in the 80s, if you wanted
there was nothing.
Legit Mexican food, you have to go to Santa Ana or places that were a little
East LA.
East LA, right? Yeah. All the taquerias. So I said, well, let's give it a shot, you know. And basically, you know, all my friends remind him. He goes, hey, by the way, did you ever notice that you're not Mexican?
That came as a shock to you, right?
I said, what are you talking about?
I got the color. I don't know. I don't understand.
It's a little dark, right?
Yeah, I'm dark. I'm okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
freaking
so,
Howley?
So we thought, hey, if we're going to try to pull this thing off, we'll bring a little bit of, I call it, flavor from Hawaii, because that's our second road trip back in the day. Got we it. Went to surf Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So the plate lunch is in Hawaii, so I think if we can bring a couple of those and a couple of the south of the border, I think we can pull this thing off. And that's what we did. And
Let's go back to Rockwell real quick, because
I'm sure. He left Rockwell.
No, because you worked at the same plant my father worked at.
Oh, my God.
My father was one of the buyers over there with the shuttle division, with the space division.
What's your dad's name?
Manuel Gomez.
Okay.
When did he work there?
Oh, God.
Manuel Gomez.
Yeah. When did my dad...
Did he report to, Hilma? Oh, God. What was his last name? All the names now are...
I don't know, because I didn't know many of his bosses, because it was... You know, back then it was always hush-hush kind of a thing.
I'm pretty sure we worked together there. Wow. I'm telling you that because the joke is about every, what, 3 or 4 months the shuttle go up and down, and they would need to replace all the spare parts. So I basically worked in that department.
Wow. Okay, my dad was a buyer.
Yeah.
I guess it was 77, the year Elvis died.
Yeah.
We had just gotten back from Mexico. We went to Acapulco, Guadalajara, in Mexico City.
Yeah.
We had just gotten back. The phone rings, and Rockwell calls him and says, we're sending you to Florida.
Oh, wow.
So my dad went to Florida for about a month and a half or so to go work on the shuttle program. Yeah. And from my understanding, all of the tiles that are under the shuttle, my dad was in charge of how those got replaced.
Yep, because they burned off on the re-entry.
And where the bins were to replace each individual one. So from my understanding, my dad helped created the system for that.
That's
and they
crazy.
Used it until the last mission.
So was he there when the Challenger crashed?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So then we were in the same place. Because right after that incident, the entire culture changed. Because all of a sudden, everything was honky-dory until that moment, right? Like, basically, go up and down, replace stuff, right? So when that happened, all of a sudden, there was a lot more, like, finger-pointing. And I'm like, why? I mean, everybody's still doing their job. And it wasn't like anything had changed, but that explosion just rocked everything. It just made it. Yeah, so about 6 months after that happened, I left because it was just—it was not the same.
My dad stayed on. My dad got laid off in the 80s, and then he was only laid off for about 4 or 5 months, I think, and then came back, and then got laid off again in the 90s because of the big recession.
Yeah.
So, but he mainly stayed in the space division.
Yeah.
But then they moved him out of dealing with that stuff, and then he bought all the paper goods for Rockwell. Then the last thing he did was buying the cars for the executives.
Oh, how funny. Okay.
So that's what my dad did there. Yeah, from one thing from another, you know.
So the interesting part is the buyer was basically, you know, I call it, we were all in central procurement, which is where a bunch of buyers, but we did contracts. So a contract guy sounded a lot more interesting than a buyer, but basically that's what we all were. Because we're on this side, basically we signed contracts for all the different vendors. So I was on the nuts and bolts, which is hilarious because between all of us, since, you know, this is 40 years ago, there were only three or four companies in every category that were basically approved to make something.
Mm-hmm.
So once we figured out how many times the shuttle would go up and down in a year, they would, between themselves, all say, okay, you make two, and you make two, because we're the only guys in the world that can make it. Because we were there when they designed the space shuttle. So nobody else could come in. Goes, well, I got a better mousetrap. Goes, well, it's great that you can do something better, but this is the design. And this is the only guys that can make what we want to go into the design.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting because people are always trying to bid. And I'm like, you don't understand. The thing was already designed in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
So if you're not in the design phase of it, you're not going to be able to build anything for it.
Well, I'm guessing you don't miss it.
I don't miss it. There was some good times up there. I met some amazing engineers and friends. And the funny part is one of the gals that was with me, what is her name? Weber is her last name. Suzanne Weber.
Mm-hmm.
She is now a senior VP at Boeing, which is basically the company that,
Bought out Rockwell. Yeah.
So from time to time, we'll have a little gathering. And it's hilarious because we all started there in 1984.
Wow.
And she's still there. She's the last one of our whole, you call it, training class. There were, I think, 16 of us.
Well, that's cool. That's why you still stay.
And that's why I want to get back to, you know, because, you know, I have such a connection with Rockwell, and to know somebody else that worked at the Downey plant.
Yeah.
You know, and everything.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, back, like I said, it was great because, you know, every time he went up, he'd come down. You know, this whole, like, you know, like patriotism, right?
Yeah.
It was something that was happening. It wasn't just some study or just something, you know, it was always positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea that he went up and down, you know, we're all excited.
Yeah, because I remember the day, like we're talking about this with the Challenger.
Yeah.
You know, it's rare that I saw my dad cry, and that was one of the days, you know, because he was so proud of being a part of that program.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. So, and
there's a space museum there that I've been to a few times that kind of commemorates all the work that you all did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that teaches a lot to the younger generations, and schools go out to it and has a lot of memorabilia and artifacts there. So,
yeah, well, I finally got to go to Florida. And got to go out to the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it was very emotional for me because that's where my dad went.
Yep.
And because he, you know, came back and told me the stories of this and that and what have you. And, you know, so to be in the same spot and walk the grounds where my father walked, and then to see the shuttle there, one of the other shuttles, I mean, I was crying half the time, you know, because knowing my dad was there and to see those things, you know, where he worked and where what he was doing and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just really amazing.
Well, one of the fun things that, you know, it's funny is about 15 years ago, you know, the SpaceX started where, you know, people would get money for, you know, the X Prize. And I think that the prize was like $10 million for doing something in outer space. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman named Bert Rattan that won one of the years. And it's at least 15 some years ago, right? So it was all related to experiments happening in, you know, in outer space. And if you could get, if you could build something that could get to outer space, that's the gist of it, right? Uh-huh. Well,
that's one of the dolphins swimming by, just to let you guys know.
So right around that time, there was an airplane, I call it almost like a roller coaster, I would call it. And it was basically where the company's called Zero G. Mm-hmm. And basically they would take an airplane and you could simulate being in outer space, because when an airplane would nosedive for about 30 seconds, you'd be floating inside of the airplane. So zero gravity. So there was a maiden voyage in California back, you know, about 15 years ago, and I was in that group of local guys that got invited to come and take a ride.
Yeah.
And again, the same thing. Bert Rattan happened to be with us, and this whole thing about, oh my God, I'm a total, like, you guys are all rookies and da da da, and I'm a, like, you know, I'm a veteran, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So we went for what we call 30 parabolas, meaning 30 nosedives. I'm going to tell you, your body can take about 10, and that's it. Because after 10, you're like, dude, really? It's just a lot of G-force, right?
Well, you remember Mark and Brian.
Yes.
Okay. When they had their TV show, The Adventures of Mark and Brian, they went up in NASA's KC-137, which is nicknamed the Vomit Comet.
Yes, the Vomit Comet. That's exactly what we're talking about.
They did 40.
Oh, my God.
Of those.
Yes.
And
they survived.
They did.
Okay, so on our deal, on the first parabola, out of about 15 of us, one guy lost it on the first one. And I'm like, you're going to be holding a barf bag for 29 more. Oh, you have no idea, right?
He can't pull the string to
get it off. No, no, no. There's no getting off the airplane. So that was one. And basically, as the parabolas kept going, people started getting sick. Right around 20.
And just floating there?
Yeah. No. You got a bag. So everybody's handed a barf bag.
Yeah.
Right around 20, I thought for sure I was going to go down. Because I could feel my stomach coming up to my mouth. You know that feeling right before you hurdle?
Mm-hmm.
So for 5 more. And then once I got to 25, I'm like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to make it.
You're counting?
I'm counting, right? You got to be able to count. You got to be able to see the light, right? But Bert Rattan got sick. And I'm like, yes.
Yes, baby.
You are the veteran, was bragging about all this, and you went down.
I kicked your ass.
Yeah. So there were a handful of us that survived, but the majority went down. Right by 20, they lost it.
Wow. So speaking of fish tacos.
How did we get to this?
I looked
out for 2 seconds.
Exactly. Oh, hi, Nia. Who are you? No, that's awesome, dude. That you got to do that, because very few people get to do that kind of a thing. You know, it's very special. But seriously, going back to the fish tacos itself and everything, how many? I think you mentioned earlier, but how many do you have right now out there?
About 50 locations. About 50 locations.
Is it strictly here, focused in Central?
Mostly down here. I would say Southern California has about almost 30 of them, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the rest are between Las Vegas, Northern California, Colorado, mm-hmm. and New Jersey, and in Hawaii. Well, Hawaii right now is dormant because you can't get anybody to come back to work.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then we have this. Yeah, Hawaii is terrible because right now, that's why you see the hotel rates being so expensive. I mean, $1,000 for a normal hotel that would have been like $500 before the pandemic. Well, that's because they're running at 50% occupancy. So they got to make it up. And the reason they're running at 50% is they only have half of the staff back.
Yeah.
And then there's a carrying luggage fee, walking in the door fee, walking out the door fee.
Oh, my
fee,
goodness. You've got some sun.
You know, having a Mai Tai fee.
Yep.
Kind of thing, whatever. And the sun just came out. Why? Yes.
Wow. Look at this. The clouds. I mean, they literally just, it's just like, goodbye.
Oh, look, and there's a plane.
There's the
Yeah, I think it's time to go get some Wahoo fish tacos, I guess. I'm not too sure.
Lunch is going to be here shortly. So, I'll make sure I bring some over.
Oh, my goodness.
And amazing, the guys from Banzai Bowl are here, so amazing breakfast.
Oh, boy.
Lunch should be here shortly. We got Yogurtland as well. From you know, awesome. Got some amazing
wow.
cups from Yogurtland.
Wow.
So it's all good stuff.
That's great. That's great.
So we got to feed the crew and the kids.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you
of course,
so much.
We're all here for a good cause, and yeah. thank you for being a part of it as well. You know,
thank you guys, and I'll be seeing you guys, you know, around town.
It's great talking
yeah,
with you.
Absolutely, man. We'll get your card and everything, yeah. and give it to our producer, and yeah. we'll definitely keep in touch.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Andy.
Man. Thank you, brother.
Wow.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
I knew a little Hawaiian.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Haole in Mahalo.
Haole, yeah. man. North Mahalo. Shore.
Yeah, Wiki Wiki. That means hurry, hurry.
Oh, God.
You know? Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
So, where are we at on time right now?
Well, we're having a good time.
We're having a great time. 10:49. All right, cool. We are just plugging along.
Yeah, that was a no fun plugging along. Visit there.
Real quick, though, we got some other bad news to give out, though, unfortunately. Passing of actor James Caan
just yesterday, I believe. Yeah,
and also I don't know if you know who this is. I know Nia has no idea who either of these two people are. but Larry Storch of F Troop passed away.
I do not know Larry Storch.
Ha!
Nice ad. I like that. Ah! Shows you.
No, I don't.
Did
I
you
don't.
Ever watch F Troop?
No, reruns here and there, but no.
Okay,
that was
the guy who always had the hat flap up.
The I do remember the flap.
That's Larry Storch.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
I believe so. Forrest Tucker was from F Troop. My mom would say that I was not named after Forrest Tucker of F Troop. But yeah, F Troop would be on like Channel 9 at. You know, Saturday afternoon or something, but I was not a F Troop. I watched more James Caan, The Godfather, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Sonny. Yeah, Sonny.
They
gets
killed Sonny on the causeway.
Yeah, he did not have a good end at the freeway there.
I'm the one, the mother, the make him look like this. And yep. see the way he looked like this.
We just played you an excerpt from The Godfather. And then, of course, at the later end, Elf, if you're a fan of Elf and Will Ferrell. Yeah. What other roles do you remember James Caan from?
Let It Go is played in the background. The karaoke right next to us. That's
yeah, we got the karaoke people over here right next to us with AKG. They got the karaoke going on and everything. So if you hear awkward noises, that's what it is.
Yeah.
He was an Oscar-nominated actor. Like you said, Misery, Godfather, Elf for the younger generations like Nia. You know, he was a veteran screen actor known for his work in all those films. He was 82. I mean, that's only a year younger than my mom. So to me, that's borderline. But the Twitter account for the family says on his own Twitter, says, with great sadness, we inform you the passing of Jimmy on the evening of July 6th. The family appreciates outpouring of love and heartfelt condolences and asks that you continue to respect the privacy during this difficult time, of course. They didn't disclose the cause of the death, though. Yeah. But the curly-haired actor was known for playing the tough guy characters such as film as Thief and Rollerball. But he was also a versatile actor, which also exhibited vulnerability in movies like Misery in 1990, Stephen King's adaptation of mild-mannered romance novelist, who was held captive by his obsessive fan. I want to have an obsessive fan.
We'll get you
like
one
her,
day.
Like her. Like that girl over there. That's what I want. Caan was born in 1940 in the Bronx, a borough of New York City, to Jewish immigrants. His father was a butcher. He played football at Michigan State, later began studying acting as a student at Hofstra University, where one of his classmates was actually Godfather director Francis Ford Coppola.
Really?
I didn't know that, yeah. After appearing in a few plays on off-Broadway, Caan moved to Los Angeles in the early 1960s to launch a film career. Coppola gave him one of his first roles as a drifter in a 1969 drama called The Rain People. And then, let's see, Caan then first... came to fame, of course, playing Chicago's Bear halfback Brian Piccolo in the movie Brian's Song, which is a widely seen 1971 TV movie.
Tearjerker.
Yeah, that's what they say. It really was. He did a great job on that, based on the true story. And then right after that, his next film in 1972 was The Godfather.
Sonny.
He played Sonny, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Now, here's the funny part, though, is that Caan... was saying, see, where does it say here? In a 2021 interview, CBS Sunday Morning, Caan said that he based Sonny's persona on the late comedian Don Rickles.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. He goes, it wasn't imitating Don Rickles, but it was having that drive, that thing, you know, that just locked into that.
That makes sense. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, he definitely has a presence, like
a
real
looking at hockey puck, you know. Yeah, kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
like ready to pick a fight, not afraid of anybody.
And took him on.
Yeah, took him
and
on.
That's the way Don Rickles did his comedy.
Absolutely.
And then the role earned him an Oscar nomination, and of course he did appear in the flashback in Godfather Part II. Mm. But of course for Nia, he's probably best known as the 2003 movie Elf, the Christmas tale where he played Will Ferrell's Scrooge-like father, who's a workaholic of a children's book publisher, unhappy to learn that his abnormally cheerful grown son wears an elf outfit.
Nia, have you seen the Stephen King movie Misery?
I'm not a big horror person.
One is pretty...
Yeah. Anything Stephen King, there's a 99.9% chance I've not seen it.
You might like this one because it doesn't have like a supernatural horror element. Okay. It's more of an obsessed fan basically kidnaps her favorite author. And just keeps him, you know, in her remote cabin.
So realistic.
It's a little more realistic horror.
I'm definitely not watching it.
Oh, okay.
She's worried about hiring her next crew.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
No, but you got to list though some of his best performances, though, right?
Yeah, you mentioned a few of his kind of more high profile roles. The few that weren't mentioned: 1967's El Dorado. You mentioned Brian's Song and Godfather. 1974's The Gambler. 1975 Funny Lady. I believe that Barbara Streisand. And 1975 Rollerball.
Yeah, Funny Lady. Yeah.
Yeah, Rollerball was more of a. I don't know that one, actually. I think that was like an action sci-fi.
There's a
sci-fi
come on, I'm going to have to look up.
Yeah. My favorite on the list is Misery. I just love just the scenes between her and him and Kathy Bates. Just really, really good acting, really good scenes, really good suspense. And then, of course, Elf 2003. Felt like that introduced him to a lot of new audiences. So,
It really did. And, I mean, he was a versatile actor. Of course, when you think of James Caan, yes, you do think of The Godfather. But then you look at the other roles that he did, and you go, oh, my God, he was great in that. He was great in this.
Yeah.
You know, and what better person to get to play a Scrooge than Sonny Corleone, you know, for Elf,
right?
And he played it beautifully. It's like, what are you? What are you doing here? Why? No, I have a son. No.
Yeah,
he's crazy. He's this. He's that. You know, or whatever. And I mean, it was perfect.
Just the polar opposite of Will Ferrell's like enthusiastic, you know, Christmas obsessed character. You know,
exactly.
Comic.
Exactly. I mean, it was a good chemistry between them all and everything. So yeah, it worked really well.
Yeah. Good career. Really strong career.
Sean,
yeah.
It's your wife. Say hi.
Hello, wife. How are you? She gives me a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
You.
Yeah. Swampy's right straight ahead over there by the flagpole. If you want to go say hi.
These are the memorable roles here. And those are all good films to check out. And his tweet, he had a tweet kind of running joke on Twitter where he would tweet about various things, and then when he was done, he would finish it with end of tweet, and he would do that on every single.
That's so funny.
Every single tweet would end with end of tweet, and it's kind of a running joke he had going on for a while, no matter what.
That's such a like.
Is that an old person thing to do?
Yes, that's
it is. Yeah, we would think that's and funny. We would think that's funny.
Then we were also talking about Larry Storch. Like I said, he was from F Troop. He was 99, though.
Wow.
He was an old son of a gun.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah. Now, Larry Storch is a mad comic actor who starred in the bubbling sidekick Corporal Randolph Agarn in the 1960s ABC sitcom F Troop. Storch got his start actually as a stand-up comic and did various impressions and voice impressions and so forth. And he died yesterday morning of natural causes in his apartment in Upper West Side, New York. His personal manager said, he goes, if I told you how nice he was, you wouldn't believe it. I don't know. We know some pretty nice people in Hollywood.
We've talked to some today.
We've talked to some today, and we can believe it. Storch was born on January 8th, 1923. He was raised in the Bronx. This is really interesting, though. He attended DeWitt Clinton High School, where he met and became friends with fellow actor Don Adams of Get Smart fame. With his Flair impressions, he appeared at the age of 17 on a bill at the Paramount Theater in New York with Benny Goodman and Peggy Lee. And then he headed off to World War II and worked aboard USS Protus alongside actor and friend Tony Curtis.
Big names.
Yeah. So Sorch not only had a wonderful acting career, but he also had a thriving voiceover career. He was the knowledgeable Mr. Whoopi and the man with all the answers on the Tennessee Tuxedo and His Tales, which aired on CBS from 1963 to 66. Don Adams also aired Tennessee Tuxedo.
Oh, Don Adams voiced Inspector Gadget, too.
Early on. And then also here it says he played the Joker on the Batman Superman Hours starting in 1968 and worked on such cartoons as Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and also the Brady Kids as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. A really, really phenomenal actor. And it's funny because every time I saw Larry Storch in F Troop, he reminded me of Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees.
Oh, really?
You know, it was that type of comedy that he would pursue, you know, or whatever. And when you watch Mickey Dolenz in the Monkees and you look at Larry, you go, oh, my God, are they related?
Like an influence or one influence something, the other or something.
Something of another, you know. And I could see almost, you know, Mickey Dolenz playing that role as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Mickey had some great delivery, quick wit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and of course, let's see, ABC, I don't remember when in the 60s the F-Troop came out, if it was early or late.
Huh.
But, I mean, I could see, you know, see him doing that, you know, as opposed to Larry Storch. But great comic actor, whatever, very, very funny. So he will also be greatly missed.
Wow.
As well. So what else do we got going on here?
Side note, did we ever know what the flags mean?
I've seen
the yellow, the green, and the red.
Yeah, the flags probably mean maybe the currents themselves or something. It could be that, or how many people are out there.
Well, we're red right now.
Yeah, we're red right now. We were yellow earlier, so we definitely want green. But it could be the currents.
Oh, like bad versus good?
I don't know. That's what I was curious.
Yeah.
Damn.
Probably.
Not familiar.
Yeah, like a sail flag thing.
Huh.
You know all the flags that they have on sailboats?
Do you?
So is it safe to assume that everybody out there in a wetsuit is here with the AWOW?
Pretty much.
It's like all the way spanning down over this side and then... Wow.
How many do you see out there, Casey?
1, 2, 3, 4
Four.
Five. Oh, God, they're moving.
Can you stand still?
On the water.
Yeah, it's still a great
really
day out here.
I was
you have this one?
That Karen brought sunscreen.
We might have to share that one.
Okay. Huh?
You needed sunscreen? I have some in my car.
Well, because when I saw Karen, I was like, oh, my gosh, another redhead. Maybe she had sunscreen. And that's what reminded me of it, is her coming.
Nah, because she's wearing her USA T-shirt.
Well,
so.
Our information team here on Your Weekly Dose has let us know that red means high hazard, rough conditions such as strong surf and or currents.
Uh-huh.
Yellow would be medium hazard. Green would be
the following
low hazard. Yes, this is the beach flag warning system from our information
red?
Department. High hazard.
There you go.
Oh, well then.
Double red is bad. Just get to your car and go.
Water.
That means a tidal wave is
right. Well,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For
yes.
Real.
Imminent danger.
Correct.
Well, you know, since we're out here on the beach and everything, there's a lot of reasons to come out. Some are obvious.
Hello.
Some are not so obvious. Right?
Okay.
Which ones are the obvious?
So, well, we're going to give you
some obvious,
of the reasons.
Casey. What do you mean? It's obvious.
Look at that good-looking guy walking by the washboard abs.
Where?
Yeah.
Just squint.
Just
major
squint.
Look.
Just squint.
Major look.
All right. Well, my partner and I, we've got some reasons here to come on down to the beach. It's simple.
You have reasons to come down to the beach?
Yeah. Like feeling the sand between your toes. That's a nice feeling, you know. Exfoliates your feet.
Is that what it does?
I don't know. That's what it does to mine. I like it. But that's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
You know? Whether it's cold or wet or, you know, whatever, it feels good.
Wet sand. Okay.
Wet sand. Well, wet sand's a little bit harder, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What do you got, partner?
Number two, the salty air.
Oh, I do love the smell of it.
Yeah, you kind of know when you're at the beach.
Well, you're at the beach or at Wahoo's Tacos, one of the two.
One of them,
you know,
right?
Because of that, you know, or you're feeding Flipper, you know.
Yeah, that breathing ocean air produces thinner mucus and improves your lung function.
I'm breathing better already.
Yeah?
I just can't talk. That's all. The roar of the ocean is nice. Just to hear the crash of the waves, you know.
Oh,
you know, I can't do it right.
I'll throw that on Spotify to kind of go to sleep.
Exactly. I mean, that's a good thing to do. You know, it's like a calming, it's a happy place.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
How about the sky? Do you ever look up at the sky?
Well, you know what? The sky opened and then it closed up again.
Yeah.
It really did.
It was like a peekaboo.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, like right now, we got overcast, but it's nice. It's cool.
Yeah.
I can feel it warming up a little, though.
Yes, you can. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when the sun does come out, we get a lot of vitamin D.
Yes.
Lord knows we need vitamin D.
Yes.
Now, why we need vitamin D, I don't know, but they say we need a lot of vitamin D.
Well, your immune system.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what they say.
Oh, my immune system?
Yeah, your immune system.
My immune system. All right.
Yeah.
Photosynthesize? I'm like a flower?
And then we'll bloom into something?
I never understand how some invisible source is giving me a vitamin.
It's interesting.
It's magic.
Are you skeptical? Are you challenging?
Conspiracy.
Middle school
there
science.
Is.
Middle school.
Uh-oh, here there we go again.
No vitamin D.
There we go.
Conspiracy theory of the science.
Yeah. And the earth is flat.
That vitamin industry just trying to fleece us of
However, there are no actual scientific studies that prove that supplements and vitamins actually do any benefit. It's all clinical studies, which is not really any
they say you pee
scientific basis.
You pee half of it out anyway, so.
Yeah, they have no, like.
That's why I take two.
You just brought GNC to
bankruptcy. It's basically just interviews, right? They give you supplements, and then they ask you how you feel. So there's no control variables for, like, placebo effects or things of that nature.
Interesting. Hmm. Yeah, I don't really take it.
Yeah, so the whole supplement market, that's why none of it is, like, FDA approved and.
Oh.
Wow.
Because none of it's actually proven to be effective.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of like bottled water. It's kind of just a scam.
Fair.
You should probably just eat better foods.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I'm going to go
wow,
home now.
I feel so much better about myself now.
I just see pointlessness in everything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to do another thing on the beach is take a walk.
Yeah. I'm just going to go straight into the ocean and just
not come back.
Right?
Nice.
Like Point Break. Just the end of Point Break. I'm going to go into the ocean.
I'm going to walk to Catalina. I don't care how long it takes me.
Right.
I'm walking there. So, yeah, absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely.
I think another reason is beach walks. You know, you're walking on the beach is good for you. And me walking on the beach.
Oh, you.
Not you.
Screw me walking on the beach.
We've got somebody joining us on the air.
Yeah. How are you? Come on, sit down. Have a seat, buddy.
I know. We got headphones there.
All right. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. What is your name?
I'm Nick.
Hi, Nick. Nice to meet you. And you're one of the athletes here for AWOW?
Yeah.
How do you like the event so far?
Well, I haven't surfed yet, but it looks like it's going to be a fun time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part, besides the obvious of surfing, what's your favorite part about the whole thing here with AWOW?
Just hanging out at the beach. I don't get to do it that often.
Ah. That's wonderful. And how long have you been coming to the events?
First time.
This is your first time? Well, welcome, brother.
Where are you from, Nick?
Redlands.
Redlands.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Wow, very cool. Awesome. And, look at the cabin over there.
I taught a little bit at Redlands, and there's no waves there. There's no beach around Redlands, is there?
Get out of here, really?
Yeah. I just learned that myself.
Wow.
So you taught out there?
I did for a little while, yeah.
Where at?
The University of Redlands.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
So do you know Crafton Hills College?
No, I don't.
So it's in the city above, and that's where I go.
Oh, nice, nice. And are you studying anything in particular right now?
No, just my general.
Okay.
This is the general ed.
The general ed.
Nice. Isn't that what Nia's knocking out of the way, too, right now?
Yeah.
Getting all your gen eds out of the way.
Right.
Yeah, I'm almost done, too.
Where you go?
I go to Orange Coast College. It's local to here.
Nice.
Well, Nick, it is so good to have you here. I want you to go out and enjoy. It looks like they're gathering around over there right now, so I don't want you to miss anything.
Oh, yeah.
But have a wonderful time here.
Yeah,
enjoy the water. Enjoy the surf out there and everything. And just have fun with it and have a blast, my brother.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
You are welcome. Bye. Thank you for stopping by, Nick. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Absolutely, bro. You take care. All righty. One of the athletes here with AWOW. And he's got his suit ready.
Bye,
he's going to get on his wetsuit over there and go have some fun.
Yep.
That's what this is about, man. You know, A couple of years ago, we did the very first one. We got to interview another athlete, and he was an expert in surfing, and he was ready to take us out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of scary.
Wow.
But he was ready to take us out. He goes, "Come on, let's go."
Wow. So there's instructors out there. There's families surfing together. There's just a lot of good stuff happening.
Yeah, that's what this whole thing is, man. And you know, to be out here today and enjoy it, to be with you guys, you know, I'm so glad that you guys got to experience this.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a
this
chance.
This is an incredible turnout. I mean, look at the crowd that's gathered for this right
Absolutely.
Now. There has to be easily 50, 75 people there.
Yeah. 50, 75.
She's
100. Bingo!
I know, stop moving. I'm trying to count you.
But no, this is just a wonderful event. And I mean, this is my third or fourth one. And, you know, to have you guys here, you know, to experience this. I kept talking about it and talking about it. And, you know, and you guys are finally here. And now you understand what it's all about and everything. You know, and to experience it. And we're not that far from the Huntington Beach Pier. We're just south of it, basically. Mm. And we're in between what's a lifeguard 6 and 8 over there. So we're closer to 6 because we like 6. 8's got a weird smell.
Where's 7?
7.
7, 8, 9. Oh, wait.
We are different 7. Joke.
We are 7. Oh, I get it. Okay. All right. Well, makes sense.
You know. It's a weird void. Why?
It is.
Why are there only even numbers? Is there a different side of the beach where there are odd numbers?
The odd numbers are probably on the other side. Yeah.
And Catalina.
What a weird.
That's really on the other side.
Right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So you may enjoy swimming and surfing at the beach. That might be a reason to go. Does anyone here surf?
I used to boogie board when I was younger.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'd come down all the time. All the time in boogie board. Absolutely. Wow. Loved it.
I like to paddleboard.
Paddleboard?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So you're in the harbor mainly.
I mean, you can paddleboard on the beach. You just have to get past the break.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Way, way out there.
How about yourself, Nia?
I want to learn how to surf. That's, like, when I moved here, I was like, I'm going to learn how to surf. It's been, like, 8 months. And,
and she's like, you know, it's actually kind of cold.
Wow. Wow. It's like, people can see me through my suit. And no, I don't like this. And it's cold. And
I'm like, I miss the East Coast Charleston beaches with the warm water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are nice. Those are
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. You get in the Gulf and everything. It's a completely different atmosphere over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of East Coast talk on this show about.
That's right. Represent.
Yeah. What about the West Coast? We're here in the West Coast, all right?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear. You're here now. I want to hear about the West Coast.
Yeah. Wahoo's tacos.
Miss it over there. That's why.
Now, you're a local boy, though, too,
yeah,
right, partner?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You come down and.
Like growing up, yeah, we'd come to Bolsa Chica, Seal Beach, you know, sometimes Huntington, you know, if I can get my parents to drive us out here. And then in high school, when we were driving, we'd come out here and have bonfires when they'd let us have them at night. I think they've stopped. I don't know if they've started again.
I don't know if they've started them up, though.
I do. I remember my friends were having one like a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For a while, they weren't allowed. But yeah, spend days or nights at the beach and just.
Well, as many people do love to come down and enjoy it for the obvious things, you know, that's here. You know, the get-togetherness or whatever, the campfires and stuff, the walks on the beach, you know, seeing some of the actual marine wildlife, you know, swim by, because sometimes you can't see the dolphins out there jumping around and everything. Some people don't like the beach.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Some people can't stand it. And Nia's going to tell us why.
Apparently.
Do tell.
It's ironic, too, because I love the beach, and then he hands me reasons to hate the beach. Thanks, bro.
You're welcome.
I don't know why
this isn't on here, but why is sand not on? Oh, I guess getting in the car with sandy feet. But I feel like walking through sand, like even me, like I love the beach, but walking through the sand.
She's like, this tension right here. It's just too much restraint.
Yeah. It takes a while to just walk.
Hey, dragging that damn, you know, little, what is it, folding...
Yeah.
Wheelbarrow. What do you call it? Wagon.
A wagon.
Wagon. Whatever.
You brought a wheelbarrow?
Folding
that
wheelbarrow.
Actually probably would have been easier to use, actually.
Told you, I can't talk today. Look at like those guys over there. Like, you got four guys. Two, one guy
pushing
folding,
one
two
wagon,
guys.
Yeah.
Damn, look at them go, though. They're moving.
They're really just dragging it through the sand. Do you see the front wheels? Yeah. It's just
barely,
digging in.
Barely
it is not rolling
barely
over.
You will not go.
They'd probably have better luck if they put a blanket under that thing and tried to drag it.
Yeah, that's a probably
good
idea.
No, it's still moving a little bit.
Or you know what? Get a 4x4 and just go. That would be even better.
Or they could just pave all this. Feel just like pave it.
Get rid of
California
all
loves to do
damn
that. We'll just pave it and there you go. Nice and there you go. Smooth everywhere.
All right, what else?
Okay, getting a sunburn. Which,
oh, that'd be for you, because yeah, good Lord, you and my
I'm
wife,
really,
forget it.
Really hoping that I don't get my face sunburned. I'm like wearing all long sleeves, so I should be fine for most of where I usually get sunburned, especially my arms and my back. What the fuck is happening?
People are throwing. They want you to hurry up, I guess.
Is that what happened? Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, okay. No abusive workplace here.
Just helpful workplaces.
I was so confused because all I did was like look down at my paper and I look up and there's this like water bottle getting thrown at me and I'm like, what is happening? your head's small.
Well, just a size. It's a sizable hat. They come.
I know. I'm fixing. Yeah. Okay. So number one, seagulls. Come on, seagulls are cute. Come on.
Yeah, but they're a pain in the ass though. Sometimes.
No.
My parents
knows
have a very very traumatic video of me running out of the water screaming at the seagulls because they stole my KFC chicken. I chased these birds down in the beach.
And they're sometimes, depending on the area, they're used to the human, so they don't give a
they don't care. They are ballsy. They are nervy.
Yeah, they are.
They will look you in the face and swallow the whole bone.
And go, take that, bitch.
And go back for more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go. Are you going to have to? Are you going to finish your fries? No? Okay.
You really haven't processed that trauma, have you, Casey?
It's really fresh.
You're still working through it. It was an 8-piece meal.
That's why she skydives. She's going to land on a seagull.
Kick them out of the sky. I've never kicked a bird, by the way.
But that's an image, though. Take that, you foul bird.
Just imagine a therapist going, and why are you here today?
Well, because the seagulls stole my chicken.
But did he take your fries?
No!
What fries? KFC did not have the fries then.
Oh, when you go to SeaWorld,
they knocked over my biscuits, though.
Oh!
My biscuits, she says.
Shit, I want to knock over your biscuits.
Damn.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to advocate for everything on this list and say that it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are some things here that, yeah.
All right. Well, what else okay is there, Nia?
But, like, it is ironic that I got the list that said reasons to hate the beach. And I was like, okay. But when the temperature gets to the point where it's hard to breathe, like,
Yeah.
When it's like, honestly, I feel like I'm just not bred for heat. I am.
Well, you're a redhead.
I'm Dutch and I'm Irish and I'm Scottish.
No alcoholism there.
Right? And so just anything above like 80, I'm like, no, I can't do it.
Oh, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
Yeah. And you know, in my hometown where it gets up to like 110 in the summer.
No.
Beach wind up there.
No. 110, that's like normal over the Paris Lake Elsinore area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. All right, what else we got?
Children everywhere.
Ugh.
Equals tantrums.
Certain ones.
Yeah.
Certain ones, yeah.
I think, yeah. I mean, being a, you know, child care worker for, like, since I was, like, 13, it's, you know, the heat and sand and stuff can be a lot of different stimuli that, like, children aren't used to. And so then, you know, children cry a lot of the times it's because of a sensory issue or like because of like, you know, they're not used to something or something's changed and they just don't know how
like
to
sand in their
it
diaper or something.
Yeah,
or whatever. Yeah.
And so that's
never you really don't need to exfoliate.
We'll be there in a few years.
Oh, don't say that, brother. Don't say that.
I like how there's number 5, seagulls. 40. They deserve to be on here twice. They're water criminals.
Well, they took her chicken, that's why.
They are criminals.
You know what's funny? I remember in elementary school there was always seagulls in our
lunch area?
In our parking lot.
Oh.
Like, which was super random because we're 2 hours inland from the beach. And so there's always like seagulls in the parking lots, like especially in the morning. And we would just like go out and like chase them. And
maybe they hate their own kind and they went away from the water to be
but
alone.
It was just so random. That
could be. Never know.
Never know.
Inland seagulls.
Yeah.
No, we have number 6, getting into the car with sandy feet.
Yeah, that's always tough. I kid you not. I was talking to my wife this morning going, hey, I wonder if I should try my water shoes, you know, on.
I saw those. That's a good idea.
There was still sand still in it from the last time. I haven't. And I
haven't.
I haven't worn them though in like 4 years.
They stay there.
Jesus.
And there was still sand in it from 4 years ago.
You're just like sandpaper.
Way to go! You're the reason that the beaches are clearing.
Well, thank you.
Stop
appreciate
taking it home. Well,
okay.
Stop taking it home.
Fine.
We need to have the signs on the beach. Leave the sand.
Trust me, we don't want to bring it with us.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then they have at number 7 the really weird things that wash ashore.
Yeah, there's some odd things that I've seen a couple of, you know, through the years or whatever, you know, come up. You know, and of course we've had our accidents here in Orange County and L.A. On the beaches too. So the oil stuff and certain leakages of certain things.
That is true. I did step in tar the one day, like the crude oil on the beach.
See, not good.
Those containers from China that haven't been unloaded yet, are just sitting there?
Yeah, they're still sitting there. I see 5 of them out there right now.
I went hopping up to the lifeguard.
The fog.
He's like, what happened? Did you hurt your foot? No, I need something oil-based to get this tar off my foot. Yeah, they actually did. They gave me sunscreen to spray on it, and then it came right off.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And they had this little biohazard bag that he picked it up with. Thought that was nice, at least.
Yeah.
Where are we at on time right now?
It is
11:20.
All right. Should we play the game then?
You guys still talking?
He's back! Come on. We can talk for a long time.
All right. Well, Swampy is back and joining us again. Oh, you got him?
Come back.
Can I say one comment, though, about this list one more time?
No.
No.
How is Sharks not on there?
Because the last thing on the list is having to leave. You had me complain about the beach. And you're like, having to leave is the worst part. Like, thanks for the
contribution. It is, because nobody wants to leave, you know? We've got all these things we're going to bitch about the beach itself, but then we don't want to leave because it's so nice.
Once you get here and it's all going in the right direction, you don't want to leave.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And no, because I love the beach, and then he hands me a list that says reasons to hate the beach.
Well, we had more reasons to love it.
I am
really
surprised that sharks weren't on that list at all, though.
Actually,
come on. You're buying into the whole shark thing? Like Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot. Right.
Damn. The conspiracy theories.
Another conspiracy. As a prolific surfer, I refuse to believe in the shark myth.
So, today's conspiracies, we have vitamin D is not a thing. The sun does not give us anything. And we have sharks are
no such thing as sharks.
But jellyfish, that's a totally different subject.
I've seen those dead, like...
Yeah.
Like all along the beach.
Oh. Those dead after I murdered them.
I know. Did they steal
the worst shark fear I ever had was running into the water in Hawaii, and running the other way was Bethany Hamilton,
who
had her arm bit off. And she waves with her good hand, says, hey, and I'm heading out into. And that's when you stop and go, you know, I'm just going to sit here on the beach for a little while and see how it goes. I'm going to need a minute. And my wife came up and said, I thought you were going surfing. I'm going to need a minute. And I went, but it took longer than it should.
Yeah.
I mean, fair point.
Yeah, you know.
What an image. Oh, God.
Of all the people to run into.
Exactly. Yeah.
There, where it happened.
Where it happened.
Hey.
Gosh.
But she went back
you
in
did
the
have
water
to think
it happens?
Yeah, and you do have to think she's going back, right? So,
what excuse do you have?
I mean, I guess you
have none.
Like lightning strike.
Other
like.
Than no matter what I do, I will never surf as good as she does. Mm-hmm. No matter how many arms she's got,
and she still got bitten.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know if your surfing abilities correlate to getting bit by the shark.
You don't think they're targeting
you think they're
the
getting
bad
good
surf?
Guy?
No.
Yeah.
That one.
The ones that move slow.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, look. There's one of the weak ones.
Thin the herd.
See how it's hanging out behind the rest?
Who's the guy in the goofy wetsuit? Eat him. Oh, there you go.
All right. We got the first question?
Yes, we do. I'm ready for my 15 minutes of airtime.
All right. Is our name our
14.
Buzzer?
Yeah, name's our buzzer. And guys, Swampy is very competitive on this.
No.
We've heard about Jenga, so.
Well, I almost never win, so.
Nice.
Your odds are good.
One person I'm going to beat.
All right. Question number one.
What current branch of the U.S. military was a corps of only 50 soldiers when World War One broke out?
Oh, God.
Well, a corps of 50 soldiers?
Or a corpse.
When it broke out?
Casey.
Swampy.
The Marines?
No, not the Marines. Swampy.
Wow, that's
Swampy. U.S. Army Air Force?
Air Force, yeah. U.S. Air Force.
Whoa! Swampy's already out there.
Yes!
One point.
I gotta go now. Quit while I'm ahead. Takes his ball and goes home.
As the questions are going, I just see this kid, like, just fall. Oh, one of the kids in the group of the trio just like run off. The other one is like, and now he's
panicked.
Again,
they're asking questions like in school. Run.
All right. So for question number two, we have a group of nuns concluded that Maria is not an asset to that Abbey. I think in what musical?
Musical. How do you solve
Forest.
The problem?
Forest. Like Sound of Music. That is correct.
Yeah. Oh.
I know the song.
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Yeah. But it's probably not sung in a baritone, unless they had some really weird nuns. Anyway.
Question number three.
Yeah.
In 2013, Marvel held what share of the comics market?
Ooh. Don't know.
So I'm looking for a percent here.
What?
Do we have to just get close?
I think closest.
Swampy.
You'll zone in on it.
Sean.
Swampy and then Sean.
65%.
No.
Sean. I'm going to say 40%.
No, but you will now be closest.
The closest.
Casey.
Casey.
35.
No, you are now the closest, though.
Yeah. 30.
No.
Forrest.
38.
No. Oh. Casey's still the closest at 35.
Can Nia go again?
Sean.
Sure, why not?
32.
No, you were not the closest. You're so close.
Swampy, 36.
Well, Sean's on first, though. Sean's on the name first, though.
Okay,
then
so
we'll go to you.
She said 32. I would say 33.
33%.
Damn it.
Missed it by that much.
Wow. Missed it by that
much.
All right. Number four. Out.
Good job. Right. High school education teaches you something.
I know. It's amazing. You never thought it'd be true.
So proud. Senior next year.
All right. In the movie Cars, Doc Hudson used to go by what name?
Sean.
Sean?
The Fabulous Hudson Hornet.
That is correct.
Nicely done.
Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm. Based on the real Fabulous Hudson Hornet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice.
Great car.
Mm. All right. Question number five. What boxing class is the lightest?
Forrest.
Forrest?
Featherweight.
No.
Swampy.
Swampy.
Flyweight.
No.
Sean.
Sean?
Super featherweight.
No.
Damn. Sean was like doing calculations in the air with his ears. Look over. Eyes closed.
Well, that's because I have an uncle who is in the Boxing Hall of Fame who was a super featherweight.
Forrest. 6-year-olds.
What?
Paperweight. No, I'm
kidding.
I like
Nia,
that one.
Either of you guys have guesses?
I know. It's like bantamweight or something like that. I can't remember the name of it.
Flyweight was close, though. It's a light flyweight.
Oh, wow.
Bother to have light flyweight?
Yeah.
Well, come on.
I didn't know that. What is that? Do we know what the weights are?
105 to 108 pounds.
I can fight now.
It's a flyweight.
Where are they open that?
Who's lost some weight.
Oh, my
weight.
Gosh.
I just think it's never
Casey,
televised.
Casey
it's always been around.
Casey seriously about just to, like, join a boxing career. She's like, wait a sec here.
Yeah, they have a super lightweight. I didn't fly away.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, question number six.
Six.
You're a fighter now, guys.
What Superfly. Nation's wine might be labeled as DOCG?
What?
Repeat?
Yeah, say it again.
What nation's wine might be labeled as DOCG?
I don't know.
Nation's wine.
Nation's
DOCG.
I only turned 21.
Casey.
China?
No.
District of Columbia. No, that doesn't make sense. I'm talking it out in my head.
I was going to say, I feel like that sounded like
you're
a guess.
You're talking it out in your head and talking it out loud.
Yeah.
All I know is...
No idea.
All I know is D-O-G.
D-O-G.
Yeah.
It's D-O-G.
It's D-O-G.
So
Italy.
Danville.
Italy.
Why?
Oh, wow, we're just giving the answer
You have
now.
To have a why.
I don't know. Look it up.
Oh, man.
Didn't you make...
Great.
What's the answer?
Italy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
DOCG. Why would they? Wow. Okay.
I don't know what that stands for, though.
D-O-G.
All right.
We hope so. Okay. All right, question number
That's a one crazy
seven.
Grape. I don't O-C-T. It's as close as I can get. Sorry.
That's one crazy grape.
God, that was a real reach. I apologize to all of you listeners.
It's okay. It's okay.
But it worked.
I love it.
Right. It worked.
Orpheus went into the underworld to rescue who?
I don't know my Greek.
Casey?
Casey?
Persephone?
No.
That little girl that Mario is trying to is that
Mario, the princess?
No. This is why we have that film
seasons. Porus, Desdemona.
Wrong mythology.
No. Yeah, it's not right.
Mia.
It's why we have seasons,
Sean.
According to the myths.
Sean?
Pycnees.
No.
Oh.
It's can you say the gender?
It's Aphrodite's daughter.
It's Eurydice.
Eurydice.
Oh.
I have no idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a new character in your new show.
Eurydice. The kids love Greek mythology.
You know, Marvel.
Kids love Greek mythology.
Marvel's apparently, I think they're going to come out with something Hercules next. I saw Thor on the 6th, and there was a little.
Oh, good. I'm glad that there's just absolutely no restraint on them whatsoever.
No. 33% of the market, you know.
All right, question number 8.
Yes.
Oh, he's putting hat on now. He's getting serious.
He's getting serious.
My answer right. hat. thinking cap.
It's the knowledge. It just goes in there. All right. What is the name of the giant Ferris wheel in London?
Swampy.
Swampy.
Sean. London Eye.
No!
That is correct.
I've nice read it, ridden it twice.
He's also, lived there. Also known as the Millennium Wheel.
Millennium Wheel.
Is the other name I would have accepted.
It was only supposed to be up for 1 year.
And you didn't go fast
and
enough.
How long? Uh-huh.
Forever.
In a day.
It was so successful. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Chris.
So I went on there with my daughter. Sorry, side story. When she came to visit, and I had no idea just how terrified of height she was.
Oh, no.
And she didn't say anything. We're about halfway up, and all of a sudden I realize she's sitting in the middle of the car looking down. And I'm like, you okay? She went, nope. Oh, there's nothing we can do because it's a long, slow trip all the way around because I'm just going to sit here and look down.
Wow. Okay, that's good. Question number 9.
Dun, dun, dun.
There we go.
There you go.
All right. What is it called when a surfer stands on the front of his board and wraps 5 toes over the front?
Swampy.
Sean.
Swampy than Sean.
Well, you can call it a cheater 5.
I'll take it. Also known as hanging 5.
Yeah.
And if you
cheater
got a big,
5 is when you really slide it out there.
Yeah. And if you got a long nose, it's hanging 6.
Yeah.
All right, question number 10.
Yes.
It's random this time.
Theme
random.
Free.
It's what technically it usually is. We've just been lucky with themes. All right. 25% of Americans believe what fictional character is real?
Swampy.
Sean.
We'll do Swampy, then Forrest, then Sean.
Tooth Fairy.
No.
The only other thing I could think of was, well, I'll let you guys answer first.
I went with Bigfoot.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, for fictional character, not creature. Character. Sean?
James Bond.
No. Though it is somebody across the pond, though.
Swampy.
Swampy.
Sharks. No, I'm just It was a callback. I'm sorry.
It was a good callback. But it is somebody across the pond,
Casey?
Though.
Casey?
The
Loch Ness Monster?
No.
I know.
But that was true,
actually. You have something?
Robin Hood.
No.
Oh.
I'd say he's a detective.
Swampy.
Swampy.
Sherlock Holmes.
That is correct. You tried again and you failed.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Wait, he wasn't real? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Wait, actually, now that I think about it, I thought he was real.
The funny thing is,
part of the 25%.
One, two, three, if you go to Baker Street in London, which is a real street,
right,
there is no 24B. The numbers don't match up, but they've put one in there.
Oh, did they really?
Just for people to take pictures.
Clever.
Wow.
Wait, so you lived in London?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sick.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wait, when did you live there?
From 2000 to 2000 and early 2006, and then before that, I lived in Exeter in the southwest of England in 1980.
Damn. So what led you over there?
All kinds of weird stuff. The funny thing is that I was
down in Exeter, near Exeter University, and somebody at some point wrote on my wiki page that I attended Exeter University, which I never did. The closest I got was a couple of girls who were going to summer school there let me and my buddy sleep in the dorms, the girls' dorms at Exeter University, until the maid came in one day and went, "They know you're here. You have to leave." And I was like, "Oh." She goes, "Yes, no, I know. It's very sad, but you should go."
There's so polite over there.
Now. And I went, "Oh, you mean like they're on their way?" She goes, "Mm-hmm." So we fled. So a guy calls me years later from Exeter University saying, "Can I do an interview? Because, you know, I'm talking to somebody who went to Exeter University." I went, "Yeah, no, I didn't. I know it says on the page, but I didn't." So I told him the story, and he went, "That's a lot more interesting. We'll do an interview about that."
That's so funny.
This man is full of hidden talents. One night, I had no idea. We do, again, one of those Friday night, you know, last Fridays, whatever. This son of a gun then pulls out fire eating one day.
Well, everybody does that, right?
Because he learned it while he was overseas.
In England.
Really? In England, yeah.
Yeah.
When a guy turns to you and who eats fire and says, "Do you want to learn how to eat fire?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I do." Wow. And he made my mound torches, and so, yeah, I learned how to eat fire.
I've also done that.
It tastes so freaking bad.
Really?
It is awful. Don't get that far away, Scott Parkin. one of our water safety volunteers and actor and voiceover guy extraordinaire, the beautiful and lovely Scott Parkin.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'll
hope I
projected it. If you watch the Tide commercials, you will notice he is the bald guy on the Tide commercial.
Yeah. Not Mr. Clean, though.
I got some stains I need to get rid of.
Okay. You're in a ton of stuff, man.
Thanks.
Turns out the rest are mostly water. That's my big tag.
But more importantly than his TV career is his work as an AWOW water safety volunteer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
My pleasure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Swami, it's so good to see you, buddy, after 2 years of not seeing you.
Lovely to see you. And nice to meet the new crew.
Yes.
Always good to see Roman.
And we need...
Last time we spoke, you said you weren't going to let him grow up anymore. That's on you.
Yeah. It is. It is.
The cigarettes didn't work, huh?
Fortunately, no, they didn't. Fortunately, my son isn't here so that you could see my failure as well. He's now just, you know, a man.
Wow.
Wow. Crazy.
And being a man. Manly man.
Thank you for coming out and talking about A Walk on Water. For
thank
all
you.
Of you people out there listening, www.awalkonwater.org. Please feel free to go on. If you're ever in the area for one of our events, please come out and cheer on the athletes. Say hello to us. Give us all of your money. Buy lovely clothing from Caton that makes you look fantastic. Oh, these guys, you can't see this because it's, you know, audio, but these guys can tell you just how fabulous I look in this clothing.
Amazing.
Yeah, see, he looks like $1 million.
You can look like me.
Yes.
Just come out or go online and buy some AWOW clothing and support surf therapy.
Please do. Bring money. Bring lots of money. Bring your credit cards.
I love you, brother.
Love you, man. And we have to have you over for dinner soon.
Perfect.
Seriously. You and Bear.
And last Friday soon.
Honestly, we'll be there. We'll bring the whole crew out.
Good stuff, man.
Good to see you, my friend. Take care.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us. And thank you for everybody here with AWOW, including our dear friend Jeff Swampy Marsh. What a great day. They're here till 2 o'clock. We're going to be here till tomorrow. We hate to leave the beach.
Yes.
You know,
the worst part
was that. So, and of course, I did bring everybody had their pina coladas.
Yes,
because it is pina colada day, which is why we're also playing this song too and everything. So, thank you everybody for having us out here. We really appreciate it. We had a great time.
Yes.
The show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at yourweeklydose1, and of course on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll see you next Saturday.
Absolutely. And you want to give your accolades out, too?
Yeah, I'm out of Facebook jail still. Yeah. I know, I've been a little busy. I haven't been on there causing a ruckus or anything.
What is wrong with you?
Casey N. Summers, you can find me there.
Nia?
On IMDb, I'm Nia Caitlin Ketsever. And on Instagram, I'm Nia Caitlin Ketsever and Ketsever Studios.
And, of course, guys, you can catch me on all the social media at Sean R. Unplugged. And take care of yourselves out there, guys. We will see you next week. Be good to each other. Have
all
fun.
All the social media.
Don't take home the band or the sand. Take home the band, not the sand.
about my lady. I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.